Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Laura Canfield Show, the Awakened Happiness Now Global Series. Thank you so much for being here with us today. And I'm so excited because my good friends, Paul and Holly Marwood, are here with us. And we're going to be talking about the Akashic Records and loving the energy of money. We're actually going to be going into the Akashic Records, or Holly's going to be taking us into the Akashic Records. And so that, you know, we can experience what that's like even. And during this call today, we're going to be talking about the current money paradigms in our world, some of the unseen issues that may be interfering with your ability to experience money freedom, how to discover a new relationship with money, one of your conscious choosing, what the Akashic Records are and why they are the perfect dimension tool to shift your relationship to money. And we're also going to experience how to open your own Akashic Records and a guided experience in your Akashic Records, breaking into the soul level dimension, and tips on how to begin to shift your energy relative to the energy of money. And I know that, you know, this is a hot topic for a lot of people, and I'm even doing a program right now, a 21-day series on abundance and prosperity. So I was like, awesome, you know. So I'm glad we're going to be playing with this as well as with the Akashic Records. So just a little bit about Paul and Holly. They've been on our show before several times. Sometimes just Paul, sometimes both Paul and Holly. So it's so much fun. And it's just so amazing that we met, oh my God, so like long ago in a, you know, place where I wouldn't have expected. And then now here we are, you know, working together, playing together, and co-creating together. So I just love that. And so for those of you who don't know Paul and Holly, they do come from diverse backgrounds, the opposite ends of the world. And they met on their journey to fulfill their soul's calling. And with love at first sight, they soon married and revealed their destiny to usher in teachings and guidance from the divine realm. They are a unique husband and wife team. Holly and Paul offer a unique approach that comes from the balance of the female and male energies and their background as educator and engineer. And Holly is an advanced Akashic Records teacher. I would have to say now she is an elite, you know, Akashic Records teacher and reader, a guide and conscious channel for many sources, including the High Council of Orion and Ishtara. She has a passion for transformation, healing, and assisting others to live fuller, healthier, and happier lives. Holly is an international speaker and trainer in spirituality, energy medicine, healing, and transformational soul and life guidance. And for Paul, he grew up in Zimbabwe and Australia, and now he's in the United States. He has embodied the clarity of vision for his life and followed his heart to pursue his passion. And at the height of Paul's career, he had a near-fatal car accident that brought about rapid changes in his perspective on life, moving him from an engineering focus to a spiritual focus. And Paul is now an international speaker, teacher, practicing healer, and certified Akashic Record reader. And Paul and Holly are founders of three multidimensional activations and the universal sphere that are taught from the higher realms to accelerate your consciousness, your ascension, and make your life easier. And we did talk about the three multidimensional activations with Paul last season. And we also talked about the universal sphere, either last season or the season before. So today we're talking about the Akashic Records and money. So I'm so excited. Holly and Paul, welcome to the show again.
Thanks for having us, Alara. It's a pleasure to be here as always. Yes, it's always so much fun to connect.
Yes, indeed. And thank you so much. Lovely words. I'm just a human like the rest of you. We're all out here doing the best we can, moving forward in our own spiritual growth and expanding to the next level.
Exactly. And, you know, I just love, you know, sometimes when I get emails from, or messages even from Paul and Holly, they're always so uplifting and so inspiring, and they always make me feel so good. I wanted to tell you that, like, you guys are like just so amazing. When I get messages from you, they just light up my day, you know. And you write a lot. I might write back just one simple sentence, but the energy that you guys, you know, send with your emails, with your correspondence, with your messages, it's just so beautiful. And I wanted to tell you how much I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alara. That's because I get to, you know, live and work with this beautiful lady here.
And I love how you are, you know, and I've said this before, I love how you are, you know, working together as a team, creating your life, creating your business, and, you know, traveling the world as well, teaching classes around the world, because I know you're going to be going to Japan again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Soon?
In a week's time.
Yeah. Yeah, and most of the month of September, we'll be in Japan and then home for a little bit, and then I'll head off to Canada.
Right.
To Alberta again to teach a couple of Akashic Records classes there.
And, you know, I was thinking, and this is a little off topic, but I'm just going to mention it now because I did think of it. You know, why, you know, maybe next time I'm in Canada, you can come and teach an Akashic Records class in Toronto. That would be awesome.
And Vienna. Don't forget Vienna as well. Yeah.
And Vienna. But I just feel like Toronto could be easier, you know, because English and it's closer. But yes, yeah. Toronto and Vienna.
English helps. Okay? English helps.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, so I think because I'm going to be going, you know, next June, so I'll be there for a while. So maybe we can, you know, do something then. That's just a little aside business we're just talking about here. So
sounds great.
So today we're talking about, you know, money, the Akashic Records. So let's talk a little bit about that, Holly, because I'm, you know, it's a big topic, right? Especially money. Money is such a big topic. And for a lot of my community, you know, they have challenges with money and maybe they're not receiving as much money as they would like and they would like to have more and so on. And so let's talk about what you see as, you know, when it comes to money, it's not just, it's energy, but it's a tool, it's a resource, and how can we use that in our, because most of us here are also interested in and working on ourselves, right, healing and transformation, so that we can bring out our gifts and to the world and share, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it really sits in a really, really big topic. But I think most people who are in this world of personal transformation, and this doesn't mean you have a business in personal transformation, but, you know, we deal with people, talk to people, have sessions with people all the time where money and stepping forward and, you know, tapping in and being confident in our gift are two huge, huge areas. I look at them as growth because they're also areas that people feel most held back by. But it what it means is we have a lot of opportunity and potential in that area because we feel so sometimes stuck, sometimes desirous of these things. Like, I really need to get out there. I feel like I have a really big mission within me, or I really feel, you know, a lot of people feel held back because of the lack of financial resource. But there are so many issues about why in terms of money. But, you know, when we look at, first of all, we're going to just talk about the idea there's money and then there's energy. Mm-hmm. And those are two, the energy of money. And those are two vastly different things, even though we've collapsed them onto one another. But the energy of money itself is very pure. It's neutral. It's not judgmental. It's not punitive. The energy of money is the same as any other energy flow anywhere.
Just energy.
It's just energy. Mm-hmm. Problem that's happened over time, and this isn't really intended to be a history lesson, but we know that there's been a lot of manipulation and control and power. So we've collapsed the idea of the energy of money into this idea of money means power, control, I'm going to become a terrible person, or, you know, and we're going to talk more about that. But generally speaking, our current day issues and our current day beliefs about money, number one, come from our experience. We could say that. Number two, definitely our family. And some of this is conscious and some of this is, you know, swimming in that sea of subconscious. I'm not saying unconscious. I like to say subconscious because we can still access it, but it's not necessarily right there right now. Mm-hmm. But so we have our family beliefs. We have our ancestors. You know, they may not be alive, but they've had experiences that money story has followed the genetic lineage.
Right.
There's also society at large. Mm-hmm. Society, we have a lot of collective beliefs around money, and, you know, a lot of us can tap into it.
And I think as the consciousness of the planet is rising, so we are all, as individuals, connecting more and more into the collective consciousness. So the effect of the collective consciousness is actually becoming a little bit stronger for us because we're all becoming more sensitive.
Yeah. Thank you. And so part of this also is that this energy of money, to really create a new relationship with it, is number one, really start seeing it as an energy flow, and also deconstruct what's in our current paradigm. Mm-hmm. And we can do this. This isn't like, oh, well, you know, I don't think so. This is the way everyone believes about money. But what we're doing as we're ascending and as we're growing and we're transforming, we want to be aware of where the edge of our boundary is in our thinking and our belief. And most importantly, the way I like to think of it is the pattern of who we are. Right. You know, that pattern of who we are that's shaped by all those beliefs and experiences. But we want to say, okay, that is what has been my current paradigm, and I want to push the edges of that out to experience more. So the fact that so many of us are looking at wanting to have a new relationship with money is important. It tells us that we have a lot of growth opportunities there and that we're ripe for it. The other piece is this: for those of us who are actively engaged in this transformational realm, and especially those who want to do it professionally, meaning I feel like my gifts are here to be shared with the world, and I'm going to choose to be in exchange with other people around that, right? Mm-hmm. So that means you have a business or you're thinking about having a business. There's a lot of belief also around people who work in this deep level of spiritual, personal transformation that, oh, it's a gift and you shouldn't be charging for it. And we have this weird distortion, is the best way to say it from my perspective, in our energy field, where collectively there's certain professions or contributions that have been legitimized and other ones that are sidelined. I mean, I've had people tell me over the years, less now, I think, because I'm clearer in my energy, but earlier on, I had people say to me, who do you think you are? Why do you think you should be charging for what you're doing? Mm-hmm. So, and that hurts, but the reality is it's a reflection of what's going on in the collective. And so we're also breaking through those paradigms as well, that, like, you know what, this is just as legitimate where to be in exchange as being in exchange when you go buy new shoes for your kids.
Yeah, no different.
Yeah, exactly. And I have to say, you know, I mean, I just recently had a session with both Paul and with Holly. I'm just one of those people. I was like, I had so much fun. So with Paul and with Holly, and I have to say, you know, I highly recommend, you know, so a session with either or, but you know, we've done the 111 activation together, Paul, right? We just did the Tree of Life manifestation activation. The only one left now is the golden something or other.
Golden light, yes.
And the golden light. And I just had a really amazing and wonderful Akashic Records session with Holly, which was, you know, I don't know what I expected, but it was better than what I expected. You know, it's like, I don't know. It was just so much fun. And it was like a wonderful conversation. And it was like, it just flowed, and it was like, it was exactly what I needed, you know, not knowing what I wanted and needed, but it was exactly what I needed. So I just want to thank you again for that too. And just so everybody knows, just to be totally transparent, you know, I actually pay for my sessions. Most of my sessions are paid, whether there's a discount of some sort, but most of my sessions that I have with my guests are paid, you know, so I don't get free sessions. I pay for my sessions. Okay. So, because I know there are some people who get free sessions, and I'm offered some as well, which is great, and I love it. But I actually do pay for sessions too when I have a need. You know, it's like I need something. I sometimes we can't always access everything for ourselves because we have, you know, our own stories going on, right?
And absolutely.
So it's good to get support when you need it. You know, and so it was like, it was just perfect. I just want to tell you again, Holly. I haven't forgotten everything that you told me, and you know, it was just like exactly what I needed. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you again.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah. It was fun. And it,
it was
conversational, right?
It was so much fun. It was like, oh my God, I had no idea. You know, so, you know, if you want to play, you know, play with Paul and Holly and you'll have a great time.
Tap into the wisdom of your soul.
Absolutely. Yeah. So yeah. And it is an exchange, right? Like Randy's saying, in exchange flows, right? It is. Absolutely. And but that's what the whole, you know, when we are all stepping out into our gifts and sharing, we're exchanging our gifts, our time, our expertise, our training, you know, that we've taken for years and years and years, and exchanging that, you know, and that, and the medium of exchange is normally money in this reality, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in this reality. I mean, there was a time where we bartered and I'm giving you my five chickens and you gave me my pig, because that was the that was the understanding of the energetic exchange, right? Yeah. And there's there are people who are wanting to, you know, bring that back again, and that works sometimes and it doesn't always. So just in this historical time and place, there's this thing that we've created. So we've solidified the energy of money with coins and paper and bank accounts, right? Yeah. And so it's a solidity, but we want to be really careful about realizing that that solidity and all of our perceptions around it aren't really what money is. Mm. Money is an energetic exchange. Just for example, we don't think about this. Paul and I talked about this morning. You know, you go to the grocery store and you buy your fruits and vegetables and you buy whatever you need to support your life. You've got a basket full of energy there,
yeah,
right? And when you go up to pay for it, you don't expect somebody to say, well, all of these came from God, so I really shouldn't have to pay for it and walk out with it, right? Because there's an understanding that there's, I'm going to exchange the energy of the money for the value, the perceived value of this energy that happens to be the food. We really get that when we're buying a pair of jeans or even going to a concert or buying food. We accept that level of exchange. So we really want to deconstruct old paradigms to recreate new ones. That's really what it is. We want to, and so those of us, I believe, who are willing to change our relationship with the energy of money are really pushing the boundary to create a new paradigm that supports other people as well. As we prove it to ourselves and create a new energy around money, that adds to the collective. And so more people are going to be able to have that same experience, because this energy of money is unlimited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Period.
And you having more doesn't take away from anyone else. Another old paradigm. There's lists of them that we could make that operate in our field.
But I think too, if we look at ourselves in a larger, like universal realm, we are all part of the universe. We're all made of stardust. And as we realize that we're not separate anymore, that we really are part of this grander universe, the universe is constantly striving for balance. You look at Mother Nature, she's also a part of the universe. She's always moving towards balance, you know. So something might upset the little apple cart a little bit, but then Mother Nature brings back into balance again. So for us as being part of the larger universe, we're inherently striving for balance as well. So the money piece helps us, you know. If we're doing something and giving all the time, I'm sure most of you can validate to this your own selves. When you're giving all the time, you feel tired, you feel a little bit upset, you feel unworthy, you know, those things start to manifest. And then, but when you're compensated in one shape or form, you know, usually money, especially if it's in a good balance, then you feel happy, you feel excited, you know, and you feel more excited to share your gifts, because there's this balance happening. You feel, you know, more than you were before. So that's, you know, this kind of, you know, some of us will say, well, we just love giving. Well, that's fine. But look at it on a long-term basis and you'll find you do start to feel depleted. And then as soon as you start to come the balance back coming at you, you know, then you feel it, you know, whether it's just love, you could be doing something and you get a lot of love back, then that's still an energy transfer, you know. Yes, it's happening. So
exactly. There's still an exchange happening. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. Thank you.
And when there's exchange and when there's barter, even it, you know, there's a conscious awareness and a choice around it. That's a lot of what we want to, again, deconstruct are the subconscious, the things that are operating below the level of our conscious awareness. Because if I have five chickens and you have a pig and I need that and you need what I have, we're conscious and intentional around our exchange. It's the stuff that trips us up that's below the level of the consciousness that's operating in the background that can create an experience of lack and limitation that that we can end up taking personally. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, my karma's out to get me, or these other people have something special that I don't have, or
I must be cursed.
Yeah. I mean, all kinds of things, but the reality, so that's what we want to get at, the stuff. Yeah. If we believe that we're divine and we're intrinsically part of that, and if we believe in an abundant universe, then we, and we're not experiencing that, then it's okay. We're not broken. Really, none of us are broken. That's the good news. Mm-hmm. We want to just look at what's operating in our field and begin to lovingly, gradually deconstruct it and replace it with something that we choose that feels more contemporary. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't want to put on our clothes from the 80s. Well, unless we're into retro, but you know, we right. wanna put on something that's very contemporary, that's related to who we are right now. And it's the same thing. What energy do we want to hold within our space to create the life that we want to live? Because it's really up to us. So I think I find it very exciting when we move into this idea that I just have a pattern I need to deconstruct. I need to understand what's there. And now let me do something to change the pattern.
Nothing to continue on with that pattern piece. As I would imagine everyone on this call today, because we're all kind of in our own spiritual path, our own spiritual journey to grow. And I would imagine, I can only speak for myself, but I would imagine everyone wants to move to the next level of consciousness, wants to go to, you know, excuse the sort of wording of putting stuff in a box, but go to 5D and beyond. So we all want to be there, get there, live in the new version of the earth. But to do that, we've got to release the old patterns. So this is just one of the many ways of releasing the old paradigm of limitation and, oh, I'm worthless and therefore I shouldn't be paid or whatever that might be. Mm-hmm. And now to move into this, taking ownership of how incredible we are as these amazing divine beings, and in sharing our light, there's the receiving as well, you know, so there's this balance. And then our illumination becomes even more. And that's, you know, anything less than that is letting go of the old paradigms, which was, you know, the Piscean age, limitation. So, you know, we're moving away from that. And we have to let that go. Otherwise, we kind of, you know, get dragging this boat anchor along, and none of us want to be dragging a boat anchor along. We all want to be soaring with the eagles, one might say.
Exactly. No more anchors, no more dragging ourselves, fighting and cursing and crying and blah, blah, blah forward, right? We would like to have it happen with ease and move forward with ease. So, you know, Linda was asking, how do we stop the, well, I wouldn't say the word stop, but release those subconscious blocks easily and effortlessly.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we'll be talking about today, because what we want to do is, number one, become aware of what's there, right? That's the key for everything. Because mm-hmm. most of us say, well, if it's subconscious, I don't know what it is. And you're absolutely right. Yeah. Because it's below the level of our consciousness. So how do we get to be aware of it? Well, the truth is, the evidence of our subconscious belief already exists in our life. We may not know the causative factor of it, but we already know that they're there based on what we see happening in our life. And some of it we like, right? And maybe not around money, but and some of it we don't like. Mm. So because this isn't all about bad stuff, we've got a lot of great stuff happening in our subconscious mind as well. So, but what we want to say is, how do I access and drop into, expand my awareness to that's what we have to do first. Number one, become aware of what's there. And number two, really tap into, all right, if that's there, where did it begin? Where did it come from? And sometimes we can release things without needing to know where and when. But what Paul and I do is we use the Akashic Records, because the truth is this.
And the universal sphere.
And the universal sphere. Our past lives have had a lot of experiences in them. Mm-hmm. And those experiences, many of those energetic patterns, and you know, I like to talk about patterns, are still active in our field today. And now, wherever these patterns began, honestly, they began for a really good reason. They may not look good now. They may not be serving us now, but wherever they began in some other lifetime or experience, they really were very, very supportive of us and whatever we needed to do and who we needed to be in that time and that place. Now, we hung on to those patterns because they were so good for us in that time and place. Mm-hmm. And now we've moved on and we've had other incarnations. And now we're hanging on to something that's outmoded for us. It's not serving us in the same way. So as we look, and we are talking today about the lens of the Akashic Records, going into that soul's history. What happened? Oh, I get it. And we get to see it from a really positive point of view at the place that it began. And guess what? That's how the pattern deconstructs. It deconstructs because we don't have to do a lot to it. We just have to understand where and when it began. We go, oh, right, I've been carrying this anvil of weight for the last, you know, 30 incarnations or whatever. You're not going to know how many incarnations because it really doesn't matter. All we know is it belonged there. I understand why it belonged there. Wow, that was such a good thing back there. And that literally is enough for us to dissolve the pattern of what's there in our current life. In a sense, I visualize this. I'm not saying this happens exactly this way energetically, but it like goes back to where it belongs. And then I'm free. I'm not carrying this anvil around. I didn't even know I had an anvil I was carrying. But as soon as you release it, you go, oh my gosh, I feel so free.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I was carrying 100 pounds around with me all the time. And so the Akashic Records helps us understand these subconscious patterns relative to past lives. We also have a lot of influence relative to our ancestors. You know, they were doing the best they could. And they had their experiences. And again, they made decisions based on what their experiences were and how to either stay safe or have the best life possible or whatever it might be. And that gets passed down the generations.
And the interesting piece about that is if you believe in past lives, you can be your ancestors.
Right.
So your past lives and your ancestors start to merge in that piece as well.
Yeah, sometimes that's true. I've definitely seen that in the records. Not a lot, but I've definitely seen where, oh my gosh, you were that ancestor. Mm-hmm. So it does happen. But the piece of it is, again, if we can go and look at the energy of the inception of the pattern, because it may not have been now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It might. And okay, so the other thing is we also have experiences in this lifetime. We were born into a family that we chose to have certain experiences, certain belief patterns that were brought to us. And again, using the soul's lens of the Akashic Records is we have this opportunity to look at the rightness of it and the appropriateness of it. It's not a field of judgment at all. It's a field of really divine understanding and opening up how the pattern serves and how we can release it to create a new paradigm. Mm-hmm. The other piece that we're at the effect of, and this isn't a victimized kind of at the effect of, this is we live in a collective consciousness and it does have beliefs around money and a lot of constricted beliefs. Mm-hmm. And so again, though, working in the Akashic Records, we have an ability to see what the collective believes and make a choice about how much we resonate in that same collective thought or belief at the same time.
And do we choose to be a part of that or not?
Right. And part of it, I believe that as we change, we're shifting the collective. Mm. I'm really a big proponent of please don't say you're doing it for the collective. Just do it for yourself.
Yeah.
Be really selfish. Mm. Take care of yourself because as you change your energetic stance, as you create a new paradigm, listen, you are powerful. It's going to ripple out from you. More people are going to connect with that same potential because you're holding the vibration for yourself.
And also just to add to, you know, what Linda asked about, you know, removing things easily and also the, you know, Eagle Song Woman also asked about giving tools to move from those patterns. What we're talking about here isn't difficult. You know, it's really almost, it comes down to simply just choice. You know, we've had people just in the last Akashic Records program that we did, one of the ladies had been working on something for 10 years in the psychological.
It was over 10 years of therapy.
Therapy.
Around a particular issue, not related to money.
In the first module of the class, she'd had more progress than she had in the 10 years. So, you know, this is an example. What we're starting to deal with now is we have the awareness that, you know, we can simply just embrace and create anew. And I know these are just words, and sometimes we think it's hard, and we convince ourselves that it's hard, but that's the interesting piece. This is part of letting go of the old paradigm. It's hard. I have to work hard to get to this next level. No, you don't. You've just got to release that level. And these tools, the universal sphere and the Akashic records, is something that helps us really get aware, and it kind of helps our mind come to terms with it, but it's also, we can then easily release it. Plus, both instances work with us energetically to make that whole process even easier. So bring it on, I say.
Yes, Paul always says, bring it on, I say.
Be careful what you're bringing on, but yeah, bring it on.
He needs a t-shirt that says that.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. So now, you know, we're talking a little bit about the Akashic Records, and I just wanted to mention too, so we're going to talk about the Akashic Records, and also that you are now an elite Akashic Record reader or trainer. What is that title now?
So I'm officially an elite certified Akashic Records instructor. Mm-hmm. And so what that means is I've studied extensively with a woman named Dr. Linda Howe, and she's one of the world's leaders in bringing the Akashic Records out to everyone. Just a short history lesson is, you know, people have known about, been aware of this field that is called the Akashic Records. And there are a lot of other names for the Akashic Records also, by the way. And I won't go into all that right now, just because, you know, we could talk about the history of this for a long time. But it wasn't until really the 80s that, and so that's pretty recent for most people. I mean, in terms of history, it's very recent, that prayers started coming down for people. And from the Akasha, that were granting individual people access to their Akashic Records. In terms of history, it was more reserved for spiritually elite. But we're moving into a new time of our own authority, of our own spiritual journey and evolution. So it makes sense that around the time of the harmonic convergence, there started to be prayers that came down for people. And it's called the sacred prayer tradition within working in the Akashic Records. And so what happens, so what I've studied with Dr. Linda Howe is a prayer that was given to her. She had worked many years in another form of Akashic Records and was given her own prayer. And so she's now written 3 books, a fourth one on its way, and the method is sitting within the sacred prayer tradition. It's called the Pathway Prayer Process. And so what it is a sacred non-denominational prayer that when we combine it with our current legal name, we're guaranteed to be in there. And which now, so why do we care about that? Is because there are a lot of people who get into the Akashic Records. Everyone's already been in there. You know, the Akashic Records isn't someplace that you don't already exist to some degree, because it's created out of every thought, word, and deed. So right now we're creating our record. Right. You know, maybe 3 lifetimes in the future, we can open our records about something, although we won't need to open our records then, but that's another story. But the point is, we can go back and look at there was this time and place where we all met, staring at these screens, and we had this experience together. Our Akashic Records is created out of every moment that we live our life. So we're creating it now. And so that means we're not out of our Akashic Record. But the reason we would want to intentionally get in there is shift from viewing and perceiving ourselves and our life and the world from just our ordinary 3D consciousness into that soul level awareness, and allow that soul level awareness to inform our life. Listen, we're going to get there anyway, right? We're all going to make the journey. We're all going to ascend. But using a tool of the Akashic Records where you tap into that, I feel it's kind of like getting the cheat sheet to go talk to our masters, teachers, and loved ones, get aligned with that level of information. And it means we shorten our learning curve, I believe, in 3D. So we're not going to escape 3D while we're in 3D. What we want to do is have a more elevated experience while we're here in 3D that I believe happens with the Akashic Records. So the fact that I'm an elite certified Akashic Records teacher means that I think there's 9 or 10 of us in the world, and that's it, who have that designation. And it means that I can teach 4 different levels of certification courses in the Akashic Records using the Pathway Prayer process. And I've had tons of experience. I've done thousands of Akashic Record readings for people all over the world. So it's just been this huge, huge passion for me personally, as well as in terms of supporting other people. Mm-hmm. I'm in my Akashic Records all the time. I actually was in my Akashic Records this morning prepping for this interview.
Right.
I and Paul and I opened the Akashic Records of our business. I mean, it's an integral part of our life to access soul level information, to guide ourselves, our business, who we are, support ourselves, because we're still growing and unfolding. I mean, I certainly wouldn't say, oh yeah, I've checked that box, I'm a master. We're all supposed to continue to grow and expand while we're here, right?
Yeah.
There's no end point while we're here. It's just not going to happen. We think there is, but it's not. And so the question is, how do we get right with ourselves so we feel that even if we still want to grow, even if there's more to achieve, that we can feel really awesome about who we are right now and have the best life, and also feel empowered to create the best life we can possible. For me, the Akashic Records is an incomparable tool mm-hmm. that I connected with many years ago.
Because remember, the outside world is a reflection of the inner as well. So as we tap into more and we make the choice to expand, and so we're guided by the resource of our soul, our higher self, it knows the bigger picture of us. It knows what's in front of us that's more aligned with exactly what the experiences are for our highest potential. And I really want to elaborate on that, our highest potential. You know, our 3D mind just knows what we've learned so far in this lifetime, and it can make a few choices based on our 5 senses and what it's learned so far, but it has no real idea about what's happening in the future, whereas our soul has a much bigger perspective. Mm-hmm. So to be able to have that, tap into it with the guidance of the Akashic Records, really can bring you into a greater level of alignment and let you flow in your life. And you feel it as you move into that alignment with your soul in your life. Everything seems to just fall into place. You know, I see synchronicities many, many times a day. You know, I look at the clock and it's 1:11. I look at the clock, it's 3:33. You know, it's all the times, and I'm not trying to. It just keeps happening. We talk about something and it just, you know, the next moment someone comes into our field that's exactly about what we're talking about. You know, so this is the level of when you get aligned, the universe says yes, and it just brings you more in your flow of, literally like the river, you know. And so you know it, you feel it, you know, whereas when we're not aligned with our soul, we kind of feel like we're paddling upstream. You know, life has a lot of struggle in it, and yes, you get struggle when you're in the downstream part of it, but you kind of see the rocks and you just flow around them. The problems are not really big problems, because you go, okay, my soul, you know, you can go into your records and ask about these problems, and then suddenly you're aware of the fact that this is what I can learn out of this challenge, because the challenge is there to uplift me and make me go to take on new resources so that I become better today than I was yesterday, you know, and clearer today than I was yesterday. So as we tap into that, so
as you say that, I'm sure there are people right now thinking, I have challenges and they don't feel like, you know, expansive and light and like I'm going to grow from it. And like, for example, Angela has a question about, now I know that right now when we're asking questions, when, you know, people are asking questions, you're not going into their specific Akashic Record, right, Holly?
No, right now, no.
But
we're not going into individual people's records.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But they can still ask questions. So if, you know, Angela had a question about her business and her accounts being frozen. What's going on? I don't know if Angela, you're here right now.
So yeah, I'd love to address that piece of it.
There she is. Hold on. Where are you, Angela?
I'm here, not visible, but here.
There. Okay. Can you ask the question again? Because that way, you know, they'll get a better understanding.
Yes, I was trying to find out why I'm going through a challenging time with taxes, with business coming in, but the taxes seem to be tied around everything I'm doing with the different businesses.
Yeah, so that's a great question, Angela, and I'm going to answer it relative to the perspective of the Akashic Records. The Akashic Records, when we open up the records, we're always opening up to our soul level truth, okay? And we're, in this case today, we're talking about how we're opening our own records and understanding. One of the things the Akashic Records is not is predictive and psychic. So the question, while obviously you want to know this, Angela, like what's going on and why, there are ways to approach the answers that are really going to be meaningful to you in the Akashic Records with a different type of question. Because honestly, you'd have to go to somebody else to get those kind of questions answered. But here's what you do in the space of the Akashic Records, where you're in a soul level connection with your that deep part of yourself, or elevated part of yourself, however you want to say that, is you can use it to bit by bit navigate your way through it. So you can literally open your records and say, what can I do today? Or is there something else that I'm not aware of? Or this may not completely apply to you, Angela, but I'm saying this globally for everyone here. A really great question to get energy moving when we feel stuck. Okay, hang on to your hats, everyone. Not everyone loves this question. Believe me, I don't either. What's my part in this? Mm-hmm. You know, okay. That can be a big deal, right? And especially when we're in challenging experiences with other people, what's my part in this? But what we want to do is be illuminated to what the next step is. So, because a lot of times we want to understand, why is this happening? What's going on? But if somebody said, oh, well, there's somebody here and they're doing these things to you, that doesn't help you feel empowered. When you ask questions in the Akashic Records centering on you, then what you are is in the most empowered place possible. What can I do? How do I respond to this email even? Or how do I get the energy moving here? Instead of it being really predictive, like, when's this going to end? Or even when's something going to begin, which is very predictive. The Akashic Records is the wrong place to go for prediction. And, you know, honestly, if you're going to a psychic, you want to go to a really good one. If you want predictive type questions answered. So, but it's possible, Angela, to get a response to help navigate your way out of it. It could be, how do I feel peaceful today while I'm working my way through this? You know, so you can ask questions like this so that you get the response from your Akashic Records so that you get yourself in the best place possible as you're working your way through it.
Angela, we're not in your Akashic Records, so this answer is a more generalized answer, literally, which can apply for everybody. Because your soul is your divine being who manifests things. We manifest experiences. And this is why it's so cool to be playing in the Akashic Records, because you're starting to tap into your soul level. We're tapping into a larger consciousness awareness. You manifest things into your life for experiences. And also as part of that, we can be manifesting things into our lives to learn something, or in this case, if it's a challenge, it's often so that as humans, we tend not to grow unless our back's up against the wall. It's like, oh, wow, what new resources have I got to do to be able to resolve this? You know, how do I become more patient? How do I become more aware of what's around me? How do I become more able to let go and take on new resources? So in your situation, and I'm not saying this is the answer to it because we're not in your records, but as I say, it applies to everybody. There might be a situation, for example, with your taxes, where at a bigger picture, you're being guided to take on new resources, or you're being guided to look at other aspects. One of the good litmus paper tests in this is, you know, do you feel comfortable with this? And then when you don't, then you can start to ask questions. And as you ask questions, you're starting to open up to a greater level of answers that are beyond what's in our 3D mind. And the universe, this is the interesting piece. And most of you, I'm sure, have experienced this. As soon as you start to ask questions and start to open up, the universe, your soul has your back, the universe has your back, and things start to just pop into your life, into your awareness that will help guide you into that next step. And the Akashic Records is another tool that you can use to empower that even more, because then you're tapping into knowledge this way, as well as things popping into your life, you know, by people coming into your life or awarenesses of certain things, etc. So I hope that also helps with that piece.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. And Angela, you know, this might be, you know, because you've been wanting some change and you've been wanting to make some different choices. And so this might push you to make those changes, you know?
I totally agree. it got me thinking, because the tax issue just didn't affect me. It affected other family members. Mm-hmm. So I felt like it was spreading out. What started as one business then spread to the family, then spread to my mother, then it was a pattern which I've been looking for answers for. Mm-hmm. I think we are all at a stage where we need to rethink how we are doing business.
Yeah.
And yes, we are preaching conscious business at that. We just need to get through this patch. Awesome. The best way we can. But I do love the answers they've given.
Yeah,
because they give some level of direction that, yes, think different.
Yeah.
So thank you.
And we are going to be learning how to access our own records during this call, okay?
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Angela. Awesome, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Angela. You know, Linda wrote in the comment, maybe not everyone can see it, so the future is always mutable, so even a psychic can't always give you a prediction. That's 100% true, and that's why when we talk about being in the Akashic Records and we can work with past, present, and future is always possibility and potential.
Yeah.
As much as some of us would like to know that the future is set in stone, it's really not, because an integral part of this dimension is free will. So if we know we're going to get to our destination, but the pathway that we get there is really up to us, that's what free will is. So nobody says you have to turn right and you have to turn left and then you have to turn right again. You get to choose how long or how quickly or how easily or whatever it is that it takes. And that's free will.
Yeah.
Free will is our ability to decide. So whenever we can work towards the future in our Akashic Records, absolutely. And when we do, what we have to know and understand is what we're seeing is the greatest possibility based on the trajectory, the direction we're going right now. You know, I often use an example is most of my life I've been in personal development transformation. I mean, really since before I was a teenager. I mean, I can go back and look at that. But so it's highly likely that that's going to be the continuation of the flow of energy and interest and energy in my life. But I could, I don't know, become a fisherman. If I wanted to. I have the freedom to do that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see what I talk to the fish about. But aside from that, you know, the idea that I do have the freedom to do something completely different that maybe I've never done before in my life, or people would say, well, where are she just appeared off the map and she's got a fishing rod, you know? So I have the freedom to do that. So if I went in my records today and I see a certain potential, it's based on assuming my energy is going to keep flowing in that direction. Mm-hmm. Now, if I do an about face or an unexpected turn, I have the freedom to do that, and that future changes. So it is very malleable based on our decisions. And yet we do tend to have a consistent energy of interest and flow throughout our life.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you know, like when we were in my records, you know, the other day, and we talked about a few things, if I don't take actions on some of those things, you know, I'm not going to move forward in that direction. Right?
Absolutely.
So it is still up to me, my choices. Am I going to do some of those things we talked about or not? And if right. I do, then, you know, that pathway opens up and, you know, more stuff gets revealed or, you know, I create more. But if I don't, you know, then the flow kind of stops, right?
Absolutely.
And, you know, the other thing that I want to share with everyone, because most people here may or may not have experienced an Akashic record reading, at least with the system that we do, because that's the only one that I can really speak about. You get real concrete, practical steps and answers of actions to do, you know, not always, but most of the time. And so a lot of us think, oh, Akashic records, it's esoteric, it's out there in the field, you know, it's looked after by the whales, you know, I'm going to get some sort of ooey type answer. Well, you may, but most likely you're going to get, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to physical 3D world things and actions to do that are grounded, that are literally concrete. And if you do that, that's the power of the guidance of your soul. Your soul can say, you need to do this. And then it's your choice. But if you do follow that, wow, you know, incredible things happen. The next.
So can I just address a couple more things that are here in the chat, Alara?
Yeah, I was just going to ask one of those questions too. Go ahead.
Because, so Eagle Song Woman says, does one's life change once the record is open and seen? Yes. So what we talk about is, because we're seeing it in the light and truth of what's really happening. Now, let's be honest here. As we're working in the records, sometimes every time we're in there, we're getting to that center tap root. We've pulled everything out. We're never going to see whatever that pattern, that experience is again. That does happen sometimes. And sometimes, which we all are familiar with, we've peeled back some layers. So do we have an opportunity every single time we're in our records to shift our experience of life? Absolutely. To be one that's more aligned with our soul. And so our experience of life does change. And I'm going to be, it's a process. It's not a light switch. It's not on and then off most of the time. It's a process and it's an unfolding. And it's an evolving. We recently offered a course in healing self-abandonment through the Akashic Records, and self-abandonment's a big deal. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's like the core of all of our core wounds. And I've been actively engaged intentionally with healing as much self-abandonment as I can for over about a year and a half. I mean, consciously, like I'm the battering ram on my experience of self-abandonment. And just recently, I had two experiences in my Akashic Records. One was going back to something that was we all have these, like, oh my gosh, seriously, there's another layer to that? How many layers, like that experience that I had when I was 16, this is like the infinite onion. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, every time we do it, we're better. We're in a new relationship with ourselves. And so it was incredible because I hadn't addressed the self-abandonment issue. I addressed a lot of other issues around this really big event I had when I was 16, but I hadn't gotten to that self-abandonment piece. So we do heal in layers, but every layer we heal, we become more accepting, more loving, more understanding of ourselves, sometimes other people in it. So we really want to just work at being patient also and trusting, and exactly what you said, Alara, when we receive information in our records, our energy changes. And sometimes we get, as Paul said, some really practical advice. And it's important to put that into practice because that's bringing this high-level advice into 3D to create a new pattern and paradigm. I've had people say to me, I've been working my records, and I'm not hearing anything or nothing's happening anymore. It used to happen. And we have a conversation around it. And sometimes, not always, people are receiving a lot of information, but they're not doing anything with it. Mm-hmm. So it kind of falls in that same category, which we've all experienced before. Somebody, maybe a friend or a family member who always comes to you for advice, and you sit with them and you're there for them and you guide them and you support them. And, you know, too many years have gone by where you've invested a lot of time and energy in supporting them and they keep going back to their old patterns. What happens is you just stop sharing after a while.
Right. Yeah.
And so, I mean, that can happen too. It's like you got to work with the energy that you're given mm-hmm. and allow it to change your experience of life. And so it is a process. And yes, you do change your life experience by working in the energy of the Akashic Records, because we're not just seeking information there, because information doesn't change us, does it? If information changed us, Google,
yeah,
you know, like, I mean, all I need to say is Google, right? Because yeah. we have no lack of information in our lives, zero.
Yeah.
We can ask a question and within seconds we can all have information on it. So information is not what we're lacking. What we want is a new energetic paradigm in our life.
Yeah.
And working in the Akashic Records does. I want to address Larry's statement here mm-hmm. because I think it's really good. If I'm understanding it correctly, Larry, and I don't see your name, but because it may be on a different screen than we have up here. So hopefully you're still here, Larry. It appears you're bypassing connecting to your higher self for moment to moment and daily inquiries. You know, this totally, Larry's statement really makes sense. But here's what happens, Larry. You may be somebody who really is tapped into that and trusts your ability to, on the fly, access your higher wisdom and trust it, and that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Yeah.
So the Akashic Record enhances that, but really, honestly, as we work more and more on our records, it helps us live in that easier communion with that. So Larry, you're absolutely right. It's not necessarily a bypass, but the Akashic Records can support us tapping into a level of knowledge that we trust and we can apply. And so you may be somebody who feels very confident in that open exchange of information from your higher self. So it would be a bypass for you because you're already connected and you already trust that source. That's what I would say if I'm understanding your statement correctly.
And I would just add too, like, you know, connecting to and tapping into your higher self and connecting to and tapping into your Akashic Records are two different resources. Right, two different support systems, mm-hmm. right?
So but they can work together.
Yeah. So we and yeah, they work together, and we can access both. Some of us can access both, so that's awesome. But you know, and so some of us are totally connected to our higher self and have no issues. But it's also fun to go. It's also fun to go into the Akashic Records and work in there too, and see what else, you know, information comes through. So if mm-hmm. you know if you're comfortable just with your higher self, awesome. You know, but this is also another resource.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And
I was just going to ask about Renetta's question. Sorry, Renetta. Sometimes for some reason, I can't see your name. She says, I have the idea that unblocking some situations in the Akashic Records, I can then take care of the present.
Yes.
So she has the understanding that if she unblocks some situations or if some unblocking happens, then she can then take care of the present moment.
Right. So here's an example. I'm going to give you a visual example. Okay. I'm going to use Paul's crystal here. Can I use your crystal?
Okay.
Sure. So here's Paul's crystal sitting on his desk. This is going to represent something else. So let's pretend that 600 years ago, I was a peasant farmer and I did this thing. And this thing, whatever I did, saved my life and the life of everyone in my village. Mm-hmm. You know what I decided? This is a really good thing. This is so good that my whole family's alive. In fact, my whole village is alive. I'm going to hang on to this, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to keep it close to me, and it's always going to be my strategy because, man, that was a good one. Okay. So now you can't see me very well on the screen, but I'm going to keep it with me. and I'm going to go to another lifetime, and I'm going to, oh man, I got this thing, and it may have helped me out in other lifetimes, right? Now, we may get to this lifetime and say, man, I've got this pain in the palm of my hand. I don't know what the heck is wrong.
She's got the pointy bit pointing you to it.
Yeah. What's wrong with me? This thing really hurts. I hate this. This experience is terrible. We don't even realize we have this thing in the palm of our hand anymore. So the Akashic Records energetically can reveal to us, oh, look, you've got this thing in the palm of your hand. You know what? You started carrying this years and years, years ago because it saved everyone's life. It was such a good thing.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, my gosh, that's wonderful. I don't need to carry it anymore. It's not relevant to me. So and this is a very oversimplification, but this is exactly what happens. So now the light is revealed. It's not like, oh, I've got a block. I'm blocked because I have a pain in my hand. I'm blocked because my experience may be blocked, but it's like, oh, this is a beautiful thing. That was a wonderful thing. This is incredible. But let me put it back where it began, because I don't need it anymore. It's outdated for the current life I'm in. So therefore then, now I say, oh, okay, I feel free.
Mm-hmm.
It's not there anymore. So that's, you know, a silly kind of little skit, but this is energetically what happens as we work in the records. As we see it, it shifts our energy, and it has a possibility to give us a different experience of our life now. Not just more stories to tell. Listen, we have enough stories to tell, right?
Yeah.
We have
no more stories.
No more stories, no more information. Let's shift our energy, because that's how we shift the experience of our lives.
Yes, absolutely. Good. Thank you. So Caroline, I know you're going to be driving, so don't go into the records when you're driving, okay?
Yes. Thank you for saying that, because I was going to mention that also.
So Melissa had a question that she was told. Whenever somebody starts with, I was told so-and-so something, you know what? That person told you something. That doesn't mean that we're all going to get the same thing again, you know? So, but I'm going to go ahead with the question. I was told my property is outside interference because I was not born into it. Am I experiencing this to release it for previous ancestors? Are you? An astrologist told me in my 20s there is money all around me, and also told I would be highly successful. In my 60s, I'm never able to move out of this.
Okay. And she also said, I take full responsibility for my poverty regardless of circumstances, even if outside of myself. I'm just ready for a change. I can relate to self-abandonment as you speak of this. Yeah. Self-abandonment, it's such a biggie, really. But we're talking about money today and the energy of money. So here's the first thing I'm going to say, Melissa. Maybe poverty is an outside influence, but it's still in your energetic field. That's number one. And the reason I say that is not to make you feel bad, but the idea is, if you recognize it's in your energetic field, you have the capacity to do something about it. Because if it's from outside interference, like what? What am I going to do about it? So what you want to do is get to this place of saying, where can I do something about this? The idea is, I don't know, here's my feeling about the ancestors, and including past lives, but especially our ancestors. When we do ancestral work, it does clear up stuff in the past. Mm-hmm. We support them in that. But guess what? I've seen in working with people with their ancestors, we also said we would be the pattern breaker. Mm. But here's the deal. How we break the pattern by breaking it for ourselves and creating a new experience for ourselves. And that's where the pattern interrupts. Because we can also trust that our ancestors were having the exactly right experience for themselves in that time. And you're here to have a different, renewed experience. But it does shift the paradigm going back in time. It also shifts the paradigm going forward. And that probably makes sense to a lot of you. Now, so what I'm going to just lovingly suggest, Melissa, is let's release all of everyone who said anything to you about anything to do with money. You know what? I've had that same story told to me, Melissa. oh, you've got money all around you, but it's outside your energy field. Mm-hmm.
Same.
Yeah. You know, guess what? That's not satisfying. And I'm sure Melissa could raise her hand and say that hasn't satisfied her since she was in her 20s, if she's said she's in her 60s now. Listen, we're going to release that story because it's not helping you. All it does is make you feel worse about yourself or broken. And in the field of the Akasha, we connect. The field of the Akasha is unconditional love.
Yes.
It's not just a good idea. It is. And when you, what goes hand in hand with unconditional love is what? Freedom from judgment. So we're going to release that too. Now, is that easy to do? Do we just flip a switch? No. But we want to know that this is the field that we work in there where we get to release the judgment. We get to release all the old paradigms that have created what it is. My suggestion is that if you this is what I believe. This comes through channeled sources. This has come through the Akashic records. I really believe this, that if we have the desire, we have the seeds of that potential within us.
Yes.
And here's the reason why. Because you have a whole lot of things that are possible in your world that you don't desire at all. You don't desire certain things. Like I make a joke all the time. I have zero desire to jump out of a plane. None. It's not, I don't need to do that in this lifetime. Do I have a desire to make a big impact and have the financial resource that comes in related to making a big impact and helping people have a better experience of their life? I have a huge desire for that. That's like what Paul and I work on 12 to or more hours a day. That's the reality. It's a huge passion for me. And, you know, he has, in his field of possibilities, jumping out of airplanes because he's done it. But there are other things that I've done, like giving birth to children, that he is not in his desire field at all in this lifetime. So we all have things that we desire. So if we can lean into the idea, okay, it's I have this as a big possibility. I have this as a strong desire. Then we automatically open up to the idea that there's a way to get there. There absolutely is a way to get there. And then we want to realize also that it's the pattern of who we are brings us our experience. So we want to energetically change the pattern of who we are without needing it to be outside influences or anything else. It's like, okay, I can change the pattern, energetic pattern of who I am to be more aligned with prosperity. I want to share this one story. And I'm telling you these stories just because I'm not telling other people's stories, but it's relevant. The idea is when I was younger, in my 20s, I had three wonderful children. Well, the third one, she was born when I was in my 30s. But I made choices in my life. I stayed home as a mom at home for a long time. Loved it. It was great. What that choice did not support me in, and I was married, but what it didn't support me in was abundance. I made choices for things that had nothing to do with abundance. I see Renetta raising her hand on that one, right? So here's the deal. I could look at myself and go, you're a failure about abundance and prosperity, Holly. But the truth is, in that time, I was like, I didn't even care about it. I wanted to be home with my kids. And I hung cloth diapers out on the line, grew food in the backyard, did a lot of very frugal shopping for the family. In the name of not poverty, but in the name of it was way, my priority system in my life didn't prioritize money. It prioritized my children.
And she has three incredible children that speak to her almost every single day.
And they're adults, 35 to 25. So here's the thing with this. I actually did make myself wrong about money for a lot of years until I woke up to the fact that I didn't prioritize it. Mm-hmm. The things I did prioritize, I was kick-ass with. Seriously. When I prioritize things, I'm incredible with them. So if I have that evidence, like, wait a minute, if I prioritize it, I'm great at it. And if I never prioritized money, if I prioritize an experience of the energy of money, I can be successful at it when I pay attention to it.
Yeah. Making
so some
a priority,
of this,
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And some of it is, you know what? It's a priority for everyone else in my family. Everyone else in my family is going to be feel more comfortable because I make more money or whatever the stories are we have for ourselves. The question is, usually, and we all heard, we know the saying, you know, energy flows where our attention is, right? Mm-hmm. We know that.
Yep.
Some of us just haven't been paying attention to money. So of course it's not there. And so we want to pay attention to it in a new way. One that is abundant and one that is not with old paradigms of constriction and power and evil and things like that. When we ran a course called Love the Energy of Money, which you'll hear about in a minute, there was a woman in that course who took the course and realized she's an entrepreneur and she was okay, but she really wanted to have a lot more financial resource coming in because she had really big visions of how she could impact and how she could help more people, but it did require more money coming in for her to fulfill her dreams mm-hmm. and feeling like she could help more people. When she was in the Love the Energy of Money course, she realized she actually hated money. She actually didn't like money, but she was striving to have more of it. So what's interesting about that is, again, that's not to make ourselves wrong. It's like, let's become aware of what's really in the field. Of course, if I hate money, but I desire it, I got to resolve that disconnect, right? I need to resolve that imbalance so that I can see the value of the energy of money and release the aspects and the energies and the belief systems I have that keep me from that level of energy. It was so mind-blowing for her. I remember when she met with us online and she's, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize I had these conflicting thoughts and energies, but she was living them.
Yeah. But absolutely. And that's the thing. They're conflicting, right? So, you know, what are we conflicted about? Right. And I want to say to Maria again, just, I want to stress this. It's not just a choice. You have to make it a priority. Is it a priority for you? It's not just a choice. We talk about choice all the time. Right? All the time we talk about choice. But is it a priority? What are your priorities? I was talking about that today and yesterday in my group healing program as well. You know, like what are you making a priority and what are you tolerating? Are you tolerating the lack of abundance? Are you tolerating the poverty? Are you tolerating the struggle? You know, what are you tolerating?
And when you look at, if you just use the outside world as an example, you look at people that are very successful financially, and you talk to them, you know, again, we can all have our own various opinions based on our point of view, but those people are very focused on, you know, the money, their ambition, what they want to do, their goals. And they're very successful at it because they're putting the focus. That's their top priority. So, you know, as we decide what we really want and shift that priority to the top, as we do that, then that's what we manifest more in.
Yeah.
And we won't manifest more of it if we don't feel like it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. And so we want to just tap into that and get real about it, because here's the other deal. Sometimes we don't need a lot of money. We need enough. Sometimes that's all we need. I just need enough. I don't need to have millions. I don't need to say I'm seven figures, or maybe don't even need to say I'm six figures. You know, all these things that are out in the world mm-hmm. as like a badge of honor. The yeah. reality is, we get to decide what vibration of the energy of money we'd like to experience in our life. It doesn't have to be a lot. It can be enough.
Can I also add this little piece? Maria was typing a few things in here, and she mentioned the word subconscious. And the subconscious really does have a control over us. And what's even worse is in many cases, we're not even aware of it, hence the subconscious. This is where the Akashic Records are so powerful, because we're starting to, through the Akashic Records, tap into a level of awareness. Because remember, the subconscious remembers stuff through time. It's not affected by time. And so we can tap into the Akashic records, and then we're bringing stuff from the subconscious to the conscious, so we have an awareness of it. It doesn't have control over us anymore. And the big bonus of that is that, and this is what Linda Howe says, the energy is even more important and more powerful than the information that's coming forward. So suddenly the mind is aware of it, a shift from subconscious to conscious. But more importantly, being in your records and addressing those particular issues, there seems to be an energetic correction and energetic healing that takes place. So it's not hard work. You don't have to undo all these sorts of things. You just somehow, it clears the energy of that piece as well. So there's a double bonus in bringing that, and it's easy to release it. It's not difficult. What's the old paradigm?
Awesome. Good. Thank you. And so we are going to go, did you want to answer any more questions that are in the chat?
Well, I mean, this is such a dynamic chat. I mean, we can keep going with it, but I would like to also not ignore people's questions and comments, because they're really great, very insightful, and thank you. I love that energy. But we did say we were going to let everyone have an experience in their Akashic records. And so I wanted to just take a couple minutes to explain what they are and how we're going to do it. And Alara already...
So do you want to talk about the special offer first before we go into the Akashic records, or after?
Oh, sure. If you want to do that.
Well, because we're already way past the top of the hour. So I like to, you know.
Oh yeah. Please. You're in charge. Alara. Sorry.
So for those of you who are on the live page, you can just click on special offer. Those of you who are not, you can go to alara.at/show/Holly8. And I'm going to, screen share as well, so that we can all see it. One second. It was so funny. You know, when I was creating this page, I created it, and then suddenly I was having problems, and I didn't save. Nothing saved. And it's like, oh my God, I had to recreate the whole thing. And I was thinking about you, Paul. I was thinking, oh my goodness, you know. Sometimes, you know, we can have challenges when we're doing the work, and it's like, what do? You just do it again. And it's like, and it all worked out, but it's like, what was happening today? You know, what was happening yesterday that I was having problems creating this page? You know, like what was going on with, you know, the energy of this creation? Is it, you know, my energy around money? We're going to talk about that. So go. So, you know, it could be, right? So, you know, we'll see. So again, this is the special offer that Holly and Paul are bringing to us around the energy of money, the Akashic Records, and the Love the Energy of Money package. So there are actually 7 pieces to it. Holly and Paul, you want to talk about it?
Sure. Okay. So, basically, the what Holly's created here in her... Holly's in her records all the time. She gets downloads all the time. She gets new information all the time, and she gets taught new things. And so this is an example of one of those many extensions of the Akashic records. So firstly, and just where you were there is perfect, Alara, the introduction piece. Most people here probably don't know how to go into your Akashic records. The big plus is it doesn't matter, because what happens is module 1, we've put together various learning things here that allow you to actually get into your Akashic records through the pathway prayer process that we're talking about and we'll do as an example here today. So yes, you can get in. And as Holly says many times, as Linda says as well, if you read this pathway prayer correctly, you are guaranteed to be in your records. And again, the rest of it is really just us. There's a level of trusting, and the more we go in the records, the better we get, just like riding our bicycle. So sort of a heads up today for everyone, you know, you might get some incredible information today. That's perfect, because many people do. And sometimes if you don't feel like you didn't get anything, it's okay. This is part of just moving to the next level as far as practice will make perfect.
Yeah. We'll talk about that more in a minute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the first part of it will show you how to get into the record. So you can definitely do that. It's a big bonus as part of this. And then basically the next piece is you know, starting to come into connection. So Holly's designed this to step you through, taking you to the next level and the next level and the next level of expansion. Do you want to talk about this, since you're the...
Sure. So the intention of all these modules together in the Love the Energy of Money course is to shift your energetic foundation using the support of your Akashic records around the energy of money. Because we've already talked about it before, we want to shift our energy so we can have a different experience. So as Paul mentioned, first module, you're going to get more information, way more information than you will hear today about opening your Akashic records, and you'll get the materials that you need to do that. And then when we dive into the modules, in module two is you're going to, and these are all guided experiences, so you don't have to come up with questions on your own. You're going to really look at what your current money truth is. And this is really important. For us to move forward, we have to understand where we are at. Again, not from a judgmental place, but what are we really at? And there are two different open Akashic Records exercises that you can do more than once to gather a lot of information and start to really understand it in this field of love and this field of freedom from judgment. Okay, so as we've already mentioned, just being in your Akashic Records is just transforming. So you'll take this information and start to change where you're at right now. The next module is you're going to have an experience opening up into your past lives. And the idea that where's that sense of limitation? And we call it obstruction. Our experience is obstruction, but just kind of like that, this lapis lazuli that I was holding of Paul's, it's not necessarily an obstruction. We want to understand it and reframe it relative to our past lives. And we're also going to look at ancestral influences. So again, you're going to be guided, be given the material to work in your records to bring to light any old outmoded ideas and beliefs that are active in your energetic field right now. In the next module, we look at collective influencers. You know, what's going on around money around us in the collective. I mean, we already see evidence of this. People who have money, are you suspicious of them? Do you think they maybe have done wrong things, or they're not to be trusted? I mean, we have all kinds of things here that come from the collective. And we have to realize the collective was built out of the experiences on this planet, on humanity for thousands of years. So it's a strong force that we are affected by. So we want to deconstruct some of the impact of that also. And in the fifth module, which is the final module of that experience, you're going to work in the Akashic Records to really beginning to, because you've rid yourself a lot of a lot of old patterns. And so now what pattern do you want to come into? What's going to be a new relationship choice that you want to make with the energy of money now that you've released a lot of old things? So those are the modules that we have them all archived on our website, so you can go back to them over and over and over again. These aren't necessarily one and done experiences. This is a process. So you might find some that you're getting a lot of information from and you want to do it multiple times. We want you to be able to do it multiple times. That's why it's archived on our website. It's archived, by the way, indefinitely. So once you access this, you can use it forever until we die or go out of business. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's not likely to happen in the near future.
No. So, I mean, the point is it's there for you to keep going back to. Now, embedded in this program also is we're going to have two live group calls. So they're done via Zoom, just like this. We meet, it's a place to share, connect, ask questions, get support, so that there's never any roadblock you feel like you're up against or any insufficiency. Listen, I've had tons of experience. Paul's had lots of experience. There are many ways we can help you get through things that are feeling like I'm not making progress on this the way I think I could. But also it's a place to celebrate. When we hear stories and we share, we learn so much from each other. And this is the value of the group. What we also have is a private Facebook group, and it is private, like you can't even search for it to find it. And it's a place where all of us can meet and connect and ask questions in between our live calls, get support in between, share success stories and ahas in between. It creates that ongoing connection in between calls. So typically we offer this for just about $300. For Alara's audience, we're offering it for $127. We are having an intentional start to this program on September 1st so that we're all journeying together. Now, that way then we're kind of all on the same page, if you will, mm-hmm. when we have our online calls right away. So it's basically going to start September 1st and it runs into the first week in October. If for some reason you can't make the live calls, no worries. It's all recorded, archived, so you can always go back to it. If you have questions and you're not going to be on the live call, you can submit them to us ahead of time. We'll make sure they get answered mm-hmm. on the call, so you still get satisfied that way as well.
Hello?
I had a one-on-one session when I was in.
Angela?
Yeah?
Did you want to ask a question?
No. No, sorry.
It's okay. I'll mute you. No worries. Yeah, I was just wondering. And so the two live calls are later on in September. They're not like on September 1st or anywhere like around there, right?
The two live calls, the first one's scheduled after the first 2 weeks and the second one's after the fourth module.
Yes.
So people have experience. They've been working and so everyone has a foundation.
Yeah, and people will receive the weekly modules weekly, right? They're not going to get them all at once?
They can actually get access to all of the modules when they sign up, and that's how it is. But you know, we encourage you to work through it. Some people will work through it quicker than others, and a lot of that depends on how busy our lives are. And that's why we just like making it always available, but also the Facebook group helps kind of take that into account. Some of us will move forward faster, some of us will move forward slower. So the Facebook group allows that mm-hmm. Flexibility and also support, you know, people asking questions along the way, we can help with that.
Right. And the intention of it though is, like Paul said, when you get access, you get access to all of it. And our recommendation, and that comes out in an email, is that just focus on one module for 1 week and then focus on the next module the next week. And if you need longer than that, if you want to spend 2 weeks on a module or 3 weeks because it's so rich, there's so much there for you, you have the capacity to do it. It's not like you better get through it. It's not like a homework assignment. Mm-hmm. It's working this soul level experience in the way that's very dynamic for you.
Awesome. And so Marlene is asking, will I be able to use this program for other issues other than money?
Yeah, the focus of the questions and the experiences are focused on money, but you could extrapolate them out to other things, absolutely. I mean, there's no end to the work you can do in the Akashic Records.
I was about to say, you know, just the first module alone, we're showing you how to access your Akashic Records using this pathway prayer process. You won't be a certified Akashic Records practitioner, but you will know the method to get in, and you can use that to ask other questions. And why not? What better reason to be able to just continue to expand? So why limit it to just money?
Yeah, absolutely. I was just going to share really quickly something that... So Larry had come back and said something, but he said, powerful insight. I can change the energetic pattern of who I am related to abundance, prosperity, and wealth.
Exactly.
Yes.
Great. That is a powerful insight, Larry. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool.
Because the energetic patterns created who we are. So if mm-hmm. we change the pattern, then we can change our experience.
Yeah. And change what we manifest and everything.
Yeah. Awesome.
And I also wanted to bring into the present moment awareness is Melissa. She said, very informative, two big realizations. When I was young, I was a political human activist and developed the idea of money being an oppressive power and wanted nothing to do with harming others in any way. Wow, my life focus has been on making money. It's been focused on, has not been focused on making money. It's been focused on spirituality and caring for others. See, I mean, that's everything, right? Mm-hmm. And that, if that's been our focus, we now we're in a freedom of, we understand what it is. We don't need to think we're broken in any way. It makes sense. If you really believe money's an oppressive power, of course you're not going to go for it. And of course you're not going to attract it. So now it's like, I don't know, do I want to change my point of view around that or not? But when we have the awareness, then we know what's there, then we have an opportunity to make a new choice or continue the choice we've already had. The truth is, it doesn't matter.
I also want to encourage everyone that, you know, the old paradigm was like an or. You can have this or you can have that. Where we're moving to now is and. So I can have this and that. I can be rich and I can help people and I can be spiritual and I can go out and have a good time, and I can enjoy myself. You know, so there's all of these things as part of our expansion. So it's inclusive now, not exclusive.
And so Marlene is asking, is this applicable only to me or adjusted for both my husband and I as a team?
So when you open your Akashic records, which we'll get to in a second, you'll understand that when you open your records, you're opening your records. And there's only one set of records open at a time. Like Marlene, would not open yours and your husband's records at the same moment in time. Yeah. You'd open yours and do things. And if he wanted to participate, he could open his and do it. So there's that. But then in addition to that, when we're in a partnership with anybody, if I change my pattern, Paul's going to feel it.
It impacts me.
Mm-hmm. Now, he has a choice. Do I want to align with this new pattern or not? But we know this, right? This is just this ripple out effect of who we are energetically. So if we're changing ourselves, we are definitely impacting our loved ones and the people we interact with most closely. So hopefully that answers your question, Marlene.
Well, I think to honor everyone's time, we should probably get into our little Akashic Records exercise so we can all have some experience of this. The experience piece is the most fun as far as I'm concerned.
Great to talk
about, but let's feel it and experience it.
And before we go to open the records, I just need to give everyone just a little bit of background. So first of all, everyone has the right to access their Akashic records, period. It's the record of your soul. If anyone gets worried and concerned about, I don't know what I'm opening up to, is it safe, is it secure, how do I know Goonie Birds aren't going to come in there, that's just what I call sort of non-contributing energies as Goonie Birds. Sometimes people worry about that. I want you to know that the form and structure of the prayer, which is going to be put up on the screen that everyone can read in a minute, by definition, the words create a safe, sacred space. So you can trust the space, mm-hmm. and you can trust the prayer to create the space that will give you that spiritual security and confidence that whatever you receive in there is rightful to you, okay? Now, I am going to give you this little preamble in case somebody isn't quite sure. You're going to need your current legal name. Current legal name. Current. Now, the only way it's your birth certificate name is if you're, at least in our world, if you're like Paul, he's a man, he's never changed his name. So his birth certificate name is his current legal name. My birth certificate name is not my current legal name. Mm-hmm. So it's what you are right now.
An important piece on that as well is we've had clients that their current legal name, they don't like. They use some other name. Don't use that other, the name that you like. Use your current legal name. This is what's really important. So if you have a nickname or some other
or a spiritual name, if it's not legally. Name,
yeah, use your current legal name. It's to do with the energetic. One could say like we use a key in a lock. You're using this, your name, your current legal name has an energetic, like an energetic key getting into your records.
Yeah. And you're going to hear things that'll say masters, teachers, and loved ones. And this isn't the time and place for me to give you a big lesson on this of who they are, but we're going to summarize it that they're your spirit team specific to your Akashic records. Okay. You may have other guides. They're not going to be here when you open your records. Your masters, teachers, and loved ones are. They are all energetic. They're not going to tell you who they are because the focus is all on you. So you're not going to get a list of like who's there. I know everyone's curious about that. But they're all energetic. They don't have a singular identity. And they're there 100% for you and your soul's growth. All right? If you're curious about more, the first module goes into more of that. Of your masters, teachers, and loved ones, and who they are, and all of that, so you can understand more about that. It's really important to read the prayer exactly as it's written, and we are going to read it together. And what I did, and this is just my background as a public education teacher, I like to make things simple for people and make sure people are really successful right off the bat. And so what you're going to see here is color-coded. The only reason it's color-coded is you're going to be able to read it successfully without me taking 20 minutes to explain to you how to specifically read the records, because part of it is said out loud and part of it is said silently. So as soon as Alara brings that up, we'll just talk about that briefly. Now, when you get in the records, you're going to use your current legal name. Sometimes you're going to use it as just your first name. Sometimes you're going to use the whole thing. We're not all going to be done opening our records at exactly the same moment, because people have different length names and people actually read at different rates. So if you're somebody who's a fast reader, or you have, you know, Joe Bob as your name and somebody else has like four or five names, it's going to take them a little longer to open their records. When we get to the place of saying the records are now open, just close your eyes, relax into the space, and feel what you feel. As soon as I'm aware that everyone's records are open, I'm going to guide you through this experience. This is a guided experience. So if you have any worries, like, I don't know what I'm going to feel or what's going to happen there, I'm guiding you. So just let all of that worry and concern go away. The intention of this experience is to touch into the records. This experience isn't, we're not going super deep. That's what the program is about. We're giving you an experience of being in your records in this group so that you have some level of awareness. Some of you may actually be receiving information. Some of you may feel peace and love. Some of you may feel like it's not much of anything. Please allow all of that to be true, because you cannot go into your records without coming out changed. Your mind and your awareness may not feel like you received anything, but we're not necessarily looking to receive a lot in this except an experience in your records, okay? And when we're done in this guided experience, we have to close the records. You know, if we open them, we want to close them. Very important. So there's a closing prayer that you'll see, and all of it's going to be read out loud. And so we will do that together at the end. Okay? If you are driving a car, operating heavy machinery, please do not open your records and watch the replay.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't, because you may feel like you're totally normal. We do go into a slightly altered state being in the records, because we're in the quantum field connected with your soul. So just follow along, but don't open your records if you're in a situation where you have to be fully attendant, like driving a car, in a boat, you know, flying a plane, things like that. All right?
Right.
That's my speed introduction to this.
I love it. All right, so I will share the screen and just tell me, Polly and Paul, if it needs to be, you know, changed or anything, okay?
Mm-hmm. All right, thanks, Alara.
Let me find it. All right, so here we go. Right, this is the one, right?
That's it, it's perfect.
What I would do, Alara, is just scroll it all the way up to the point where opening prayer probably just is either lined up.
But right. No, we'll leave the blue and the orange visible.
That's perfect.
Right, no, it's actually not. Can you just lower it just there, perfect. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. So if you notice, I told you it was color coded.
There we go.
So if it's blue, you're going to read it out loud. If it's orange, you're going to read it silently. Okay. So, and we just read it from top to, wait. Yes. Okay. So now I want to point something out. If you go down to the first place, it says, help me to know myself in the light of the Akashic Records. Okay? You're going to read that out loud. Now, right below that, in the orange part, it says, help me to know, and then in parentheses, you're reading this silently, but you're going to, where it says your current legal name, you're inserting your current legal name. Okay, so I would read it as silently, help me to know Holly Hawkins Marwood in the light of the Akashic Records, to see Holly Hawkins Marwood through the eyes of the Lords of the Records. And then when I get to the last line there, enable me to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of Holly Hawkins Marwood have for her. Okay?
Yep, makes sense.
So you sound like you're talking about somebody else. It's okay.
Yeah.
All right? And then out loud, you say the records are now open. You're going to close your eyes and just feel whatever you feel. Mm-hmm. It's all good. It's going to be totally different for everyone, and that's absolutely okay. So look at Renata. She's doing a little happy dance there. All right. Okay. So are we all ready?
We are. We are.
All right. So let's begin reading this together. And so we do acknowledge the forces of light, asking for guidance,
direction,
courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good,
the highest good of everyone connected to us.
O Holy Spirit of God, protect me from all forms of self-centeredness, and direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know myself in the Akashic records, to see myself in the eyes of the Lords of the records, and enable me to share the wisdom and compassion that the Masters, Teachers, and loved ones of me have for me. Now read the orange part silently to yourself. The records are now open.
The records are now open.
All right, settling in. If you are still finishing up reading the prayer, please continue. And the first thing we want to do when we move into our records is allow ourselves to arrive in this incredible sacred space. This is the space that holds the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding, the connection to your soul level truth. There's something we speak about that's the Akashic atmosphere. And that atmosphere is love, unconditional love. And some of you may be feeling that and experiencing that. And even if you're not, open up to the possibility and the energy of it being there. It's okay. In this space, because we're in the space of freedom from judgment, we're going to allow whatever our experience is to be completely okay without judgment and gift that to ourselves to the best of our ability in this moment in time. And you may feel, some people do when they first get in here, almost like a weight being lifted, and it is the weight of judgment, of criticism that sometimes that we hold towards and against ourselves. Some people feel that lifting off and that release. And whether you feel it or not, open to the possibility that judgment is suspended in this space, that judgment is unique to being in 3D and doesn't exist in this space that you find yourself. And also in this space that you've entered into are your masters, your teachers, and your loved ones. They're here with their entire focus on you and your unfolding soul's journey. Your masters have been there since you first separated from Source and will be there with you always. Your teachers are there specifically for the current soul lessons. And your loved ones are those, some of those that you've known before in this lifetime, who've said yes to supporting you in your soul's journey. So as you connect with the idea and the awareness of your masters, teachers, and loved ones, behind your closed eyes, imagine that your head can look literally in 360 degrees. And open your awareness to where you feel your masters, teachers, and loved ones are. Trust that whatever you feel is correct. Some people feel them right in front of them. Some people feel as if their masters, teachers, and loved ones are encircling them. Some feel them hovering above their head. Allow your awareness of where they might be in their energetic form to be true. They're not going to formally become solidified and look like a human being. They're there in their energy form for you. The first thing we're going to do now that we've settled into the space and we've allowed ourselves to arrive and created that connection with our masters, teachers, and loved ones who quite frankly know us better than anyone else. And they know us at a soul level better than we know ourselves. And they're helping us break open to their point of view about us. So let's just do a little quick check-in. In the space of your records, ask yourself, how am I doing today? How do I feel? And this is a time where you can say, I feel great or excited or a little worried. Maybe you feel tired. Just bring to mind how you feel right now in truth. The beautiful thing about the Akasha is it absolutely can hold any aspect of our human experience in the love that's there. So there's nothing too big or too hard or too dramatic or emotional that the space can't hold in love for us. And we're going to do a really smaller experience of a survey of your life related to money. And this is non-judgmental. It's almost like you're watching a movie go by, but and just this lifetime is all we're worried about or concerned, wanting to presence right now in the space of truth. Has there never been enough? Has there always been just enough? But not anymore. You may have had a roller coaster experience with money. where there were times where you had quite a lot and maybe not much at all. We're observing the history of money for you in this lifetime. Check in with your breathing, and if for some reason you're holding your breath, relax your abdomen and take a nice breath in and allow the energy to follow your breath. And some of you are going to have new awarenesses around money just because we've done this little survey. Because you may, for example, be in a moment that you feel like there's not enough and you forgot about times when you had more than enough. You may be opening to the idea that in your early childhood, maybe there really wasn't enough. And that was the predominant energy and experience that you had. Perhaps there was a lot of fear around money or anger. And we're just looking at it, bringing it into the space of the Akasha at this moment in time. And relative to looking at this history right now, can you see where you are right now, how maybe it makes sense? And you know, actually, maybe it doesn't make any sense at all. We're going to allow all of that to be true, whatever is true for you right now. So what I'm going to invite you to do now is take a few moments, and you can either do this out loud or silently in your head or by writing on a piece of paper. Take a moment to share what comes up for you around money. But what you're doing is sharing it with your masters, teachers, and loved ones. And when we're telling our story in the records, what's beautiful about it is we get to be 100% authentic. You can swear, you can be angry, you can feel upset. You don't need to put a spiritual Pollyanna-ish spin or buff it up in some way that doesn't feel meaningful. Be real and raw and honest. Take a few minutes to offload your truth in this moment, whatever it might be. You notice we're not asking for questions or demanding an answer now. We're talking to our masters, teachers, and loved ones. As you're sharing, you might have new awarenesses and ideas come to you. Sometimes when we're sharing in our records our human experience, we say things that we didn't even realize were within us. We're not trying to fix anything right now. We're just bringing it into the space of love. You may still have more to say, and that's okay. You can always go back into your records again. What we're going to do is just let that one, that experience of sharing your story with your master's teachers and loved ones, come to a conclusion. And dropping into the space of your heart. Share with your master's teachers and loved ones that you would like to cultivate a new relationship with the energy of money, if you wish. And explain to them what you believe to be true that you would like to cultivate, perhaps not being worried about money, perhaps having more than enough, perhaps having enough money to put into retirement, perhaps having enough clients, perhaps feeling like you have enough impact. But just share with them that you want to cultivate a new relationship with the energy of money and that you're going to be asking them for their assistance and their support. And notice how you feel just bringing that into the space. It's not judging the past, it's just saying, that's been my experience, and now I'd like to cultivate something new. They will always be there to help you and support you in the next level of your growth. So now here's our first ask of our masters, teachers, and loved ones. Ask them to bring to you one thing, one awareness, one feeling, one emotion, if you will, around one step you could take to cultivating a new relationship with the energy of money. What's one thing I can do? So you could hear a word like trust. Or, and by the way, hearing does not mean you're hearing somebody whispering in your ear. It could be that you feel the word trust coming up in your energetic field. Trust that. You could have an awareness that, oh, I need to save 10% of my money every time I get a paycheck. Trust that. It could be very esoteric and lofty. It could be an emotion you feel, like hope. And it could be something to do in the world. And if you're not feeling that you're receiving anything, please know you have a response that your mind, your awareness may not be perceiving at this moment, but we don't ask a question in the records without having a response. So once again, tell your masters, teachers, and loved ones you're open to receiving their guidance and what's one thing they want to share for you with where you are right now. Okay, so we're going to let that experience go for the moment. Bring your awareness back to how you feel landing in your Akashic records, getting that sense of the Akashic atmosphere. And we're going to get ready to close the records now. So if you could open your eyes, and Alara, if you could scroll the, so we can read the closing prayer.
Perfect.
So you notice the black words at the top, say closing prayer, and then the rest of it goes down to the next line. So we want to start at the blue line there. It says, I would like to thank. Okay. So let's read this out loud together. I would like to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for their love and compassion. I would like to thank the lords of the Akashic Records for their point of view. And I would like to thank the Holy Spirit of Light for all knowledge and healing. The records are now closed. Amen. The records are now closed. Amen. The records are now closed. Amen. So take a nice breath, kind of, you know, wiggle yourself around in your chair. If you have some water, something to drink, take a drink. It's always good to ground yourself after you come back into the records. And grounding looks like just being normal, everyday human. Like, here I am, I'm in my body. You know, if you go walk the dog, have a bite to eat, make the bed, move laundry, get back to work, drink water, all of that is like, okay, I'm back. Saying I'm back in my 3D experience, having received the guidance in my records.
I'm back. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So how was that for everybody? Type in the chat, let us know. I know it was amazing. Paul, what were you showing?
Paul was taking notes during the
experience. Lots of information.
Awesome. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I'm a feeler, right? So I felt a lot of energy, which was cool and awesome. I love that. I also like, it felt like we did so much, but you know, I got information, I got ahas, you know, I was able to acknowledge certain things for myself, you know? Yeah. And action steps of what to do next. Yes. I should have written it down too, but where I'm sitting, I have no pen and paper, whatever, but I will remember. I will remember. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. So Linda said that was great and amazing. Renetta says awesome. Marlene says wonderful. I received a very relevant message. Awesome. Good.
Great. Thank you for that. Now, so one of the things I want to say, people have a lot of preconceived ideas about what it can be to go in your records. And, you know, it's very common to use languaging like, oh, I heard this thing. I could tell you I heard something in my records. I have never heard anything in my records. Like, yeah. Like it would be, you know, like if I'm whispering in Paul's ear, nobody's whispering in my ear. Okay.
Holly, this is what you need to do today.
It doesn't sound like that. It often comes
as a knowingness. Like your own ideas, your own thoughts.
Right.
Yeah.
It can feel like stuff you already know. And guess what? And you and I had some of this experience in your reading, Alara. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we already know stuff. Yay. Mm-hmm. And yeah. It gets confirmed in the records as well. And when we get confirmation in the records, this doesn't mean that you're not in the records. What it means is, or that you're, you know, that this isn't worthy of you. What it means is that you're already connected, you already know things, but when we get it in the records, it solidifies it, we are less insecure about the ideas. And it kind of goes back to what Larry's comment was before. When we work in the records and we get confirmed in there, like I know stuff, then we feel more confident in that day-to-day intuitive inner guidance that's on the fly.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. No, it was awesome. Because I've been in the records before and each time is different. Is that? Yes. That too, right? It's possible that each time is different.
Each time is different because we're different every time. You know, people will say, oh, I was in my records and I was doing this thing and maybe I met a past life and I ran out of time and I got on my records. I'm going to go back and talk to them. Don't count on it. And the reason is your masters, teachers, and loved ones bring to you what you need in that moment, energetically. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if in that time you've been there, even though they were maybe cool and interesting and you were learning a lot, if the energy around it was resolved, you're not going to get back to that lifetime. It's not that there's anything wrong with you. It just means, oh, the energy is resolved. So that's why we always make right here and now the center point of our questions. And then we trust our master teachers and loved ones. I don't know. Is it a past life? Is it an ancestral thing? Am I going to clear it up in this lifetime right here and now? We don't need to know any of that. They handle all that for us.
Yeah, it's not significant. And it's not about making it significant and making it a story. You know, so, but I do have a question really quickly. So Beverly is saying, powerful new relationship to trust money. Awesome. Good.
Wow. Excellent, Beverly. Congratulations.
Yeah. So my question was, you know, I received an aha or a remembering of something that I've forgotten about that had to do with, you know, my father, for example, right? And so, but it came up during the record, right, to show me, I guess, an instance of that energy happening, you know, in my awareness, right? So it's like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. So I have that energy or I've experienced that energy, even though it happened to him, because we're very close, you know, it's possible that, you know, I'm being affected by that energy or that event or situation as well. I mean, definitely, right?
Yeah. Well, and because, I mean, the truth is, especially for empathic people, and probably that's 90% of the people or more in the room here, you know, we care and we are connected and we actually literally take things on behalf of other people. So a lot of times these patterns that we talk about of what we have going on in our field, the truth is some of them, they're other people's energies.
Yeah.
And we've decided, they've been there for so long. Listen, I've been in the records with a lot of people where we make decisions about who we are when we're in utero. So that now we're born, and guess what? Of course we think this is us because we've always known it. It's always been there but it really wasn't ours. It could be like mom's thoughts and feelings and, or what was in the environment when we were in utero. So we're sensitive beings, right? And so some of what's in our field didn't originate with us, but it is still ours to work through, but with the awareness, we can change the pattern.
Yeah. Awesome. Yep. Definitely changing that pattern. Yep.
Yeah. and that's what's wonderful. You're in the records. That wasn't a very long experience, but you know, you get something and now the getting of it, the energy is already shifting. Mm-hmm. You may not have to do anything more around it than that.
Yeah. Just having the awareness of it. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Any other questions, anybody, about your experience in the records? Just curious. I mean, I got stuff. I liked it. I enjoyed it. It was fun. And, you know, there was one point, though, I have to say that I thought I was no longer in the record because of the activity going on in the house, you know, like Neo and my husband, you know, and I had to open my eyes for a minute and I felt, oh, am I not in? But all I did was I just went back to my heart space, you know, yep. and I was like, back, you know, kind of thing, right?
Right. Yeah, no, and that's it. And if for some reason you feel like you pop out, you just read that third stanza again, yeah, and again. You pop right back in again, and you're fine. I don't know if somebody's actually thinking about this, but it's coming to mind, so I'm going to say this. Please don't go through your whole day maximizing your life experience in your records. It's not a good idea.
Okay. Right, yeah.
I get that question a lot. Well, if this is a good space for us to do, why don't we just open it and stay there all day? Because you're in an altered space.
Yeah, it makes you a bit spicy. Yeah.
So what we do is it's a great resource. You go in, get what you need to get, come back, live your life. You can go back in there and get more. Mm-hmm. But we're intended to be 3D and embody these gifts of who we are and emanate it out into the world. So we use it as a resource instead of a lifestyle, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's a resource. You know, you tap in or you go in, connect in every day, ask a few questions or just be in the energy, you know, and then come back out and live your life.
Right.
Yes.
Right. It's about living your life. Paige is asking, I felt like I had to release old beliefs. Has the awareness of that a means of releasing, or do I have to do work to release?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
It's most likely, Paige, some of both. It because we don't have enough information here, it's hard to say. But when we're in the records and we just have awareness, like if I go back to, you know, this thing and I realize, oh, I have this awareness. I didn't even realize I had this lapis lazuli in my hand. And now I know where it begins. The awareness is already releasing and shifting the energy. And then we live with that and say, okay, was that everything? Or is there more there that I need to do more work around? And the way we know that is literally by living with the new energetic space we're in right now and seeing what more can be done.
Yeah.
I could go on for like 45 days. So I'm just going to let that sit there.
Well, I was just going to add to that, you know, it's like, some stuff is going to be released during the time that you're in the record, but you also here in the 3D reality have to consciously also change the way that you behave, change your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions. How are you now going to operate? How are you now going to function in the world? Are you going to function in the world before you went into the Akashic Records and had that release? Or, you know, are you like pre-AR or post-AR, right? Mm-hmm. You are a different person, but you also have to now be that different person too, right?
You have to be that different person. And if we don't know how to be it yet, we can go into the records and just say, what's one thing I could do today to help me be that new energy and really embody it? Because sometimes we know that something's changed, but we don't have a 3D frame of reference about how to do it differently, but we can go in and we can ask. I love asking small questions like, what can I do today in this moment?
Yeah, I like that.
Because then, you know, we take that big monumental thing that can feel overwhelming, but all we have to do, if we work with it in this moment, in just today, what can I do today? Then we're shifted today. And then we're taking that journey of 1,000 miles one step at a time, really is what we're doing. But each step of the way, we're closer, we feel better, we feel transformed, we trust ourselves more. All of that is wonderful.
The advantage to us is that when you're going to the records, you get sort of clearer guidance. So there's less pinballing in your life. You know, should I try this? And I try this. Oh, no, this doesn't work. I'll try this. Oh, this doesn't work. So many of us have pinballed in our lives at various points. When you're tapped into the wisdom of your soul, you pretty much just follow the path. And so this pinballing piece becomes a lot less.
Yeah. Awesome. Good. Thank you. So I was just noticing, Renata, are you okay? I can't see you right now, but... Because when I saw you like holding your head and blah, blah, blah. So are you okay? I don't know if she's typing or if she's trying to unmute.
I think she's typing. Yeah, I'm better. Okay.
Okay, good.
Did you feel a lot when you were in there, in your physical body, Renata?
I had a pain. Yeah. Intensity. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and so just so everyone knows, because I'm not happy that you had the pain, Renata. I'm sorry for that. But what's good about it is it's really evidence of some energy shifting, and it should go away easily. Make sure you drink plenty of water. And if for some reason this happens every now and then, very rarely, but if you feel like, I don't know, maybe I feel like I'm still in the records or I'm still in the experience, read the closing prayer again to yourself.
And you know some of the other tools, Renata, that I've shared with you, right? Do that, okay?
Linda says she feels waves up her spine. That's movement for sure. Larry said, thank you for a great session. You're welcome, Larry. And Lisa, I got some good insights and confirmations. Thank you. You're welcome, Lisa. It's been just such a pleasure to connect with all of you.
Yeah. This was so much fun. I'm so glad we did this because it's like, oh my goodness, I know it's a lot longer than we had probably anticipated or you had thought, but you know, it was fun. And I'm so glad you enjoyed it, Renata, and Larry, you too. I'm so glad that it was a great session for you because I know earlier on you had mentioned that you had had some challenges with being in the record. So awesome. I'm glad. Good. So again, yeah, I want
Larry to... said earlier about like it does take practice, mm-hmm. and we have to be just really kind and feel that, okay, I have a right to be in here and now I'm going to practice.
Yeah.
You didn't ride a two-wheel bike the first time you were given it. So we're going to just be really nice and kind as we're learning to break open into this.
Exactly. Absolutely. And that's the thing. Some of us, we expect to be, you know, concert, you know, pianists, you know, like Bach or Mozart, you know, right off the top, just from beginning, but it doesn't happen like that. They also practiced a lot. And of course I can say that because I'm in the area of Mozart and Bach, you know, they're just coming in to say, yeah, we had to do a lot of work before we became that, you know?
Right.
When right. you said 360 degrees, I was in the top of a round glass. Hmm, beautiful.
Nice. Yes. Beautiful.
Awesome. Awesome. So yeah, so again, I just want to quickly just mention as well, you know, we are going to be doing this type of work, I'm assuming, in the package, you know, in the love of energy of money package, yeah. right? Going into the records with these guided processes and accessing our records and asking questions, the guided questions that you're going to have. Right?
The whole yeah. program is basically going into your records. We've got guidance, we've got questions. You go in, you ask, you get information, you go in, you go out. So that's the main crux of it, with additional guidance to step you through the various processes.
Yeah. yeah. So it's teaching, guided experiences. There's documents also, so you don't always have to listen to the audio. If you're somebody who's better visual, if you're better audio, then those are there. If you like watching the videos, that's there. Paul's done an amazing job of capturing all of it and giving you all kinds of options to connect with the information.
I think it's such a brilliant idea, and it's a great way for people who are not comfortable going into the records by themselves, you know, early on, then, you know, it's a great support, and it's a great way for them to get comfortable and, you know, work with you. And so I was like, oh, I'm doing it. I know I'm doing it. So it's like, how much more fun can we have playing together, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And isn't it great that collectively some of us really want to create a new paradigm around money and feel
yeah.
empowered in whatever way we choose.
Bring it yeah. on.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, so that package is available at alara.at/show/Holly8. So please do take a look at it. It's going to start. There's a start date of September 1st. So you do have a little bit of time beforehand. But, you know.
Can I just add one thing? As soon as people register, they will be sent a link to the first module, right?
Yeah, well, when they register through Alara. Alara will just let me know. I'll put you into the program. So please allow about 24 hours just in case, just for us, for our processing side of things, because Alara is on a different time zone to us.
Yes.
So when that comes through, and then as soon as I put you in the system, you'll get the email that Holly's yeah. talking about.
And so you can play with opening your own records because yeah. you're going to have that first module. And so you can play with all that. But just so that... I mean, you can do whatever you want with it, right?
Right.
But the reality is that we're going to like officially start on the first, so we're all kind of in the same place, but you're going to have access to it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you. So yes, Paul, go ahead and add my name, okay? There's, yeah, the first registrant, me, I'm there. I'm joining for sure. And we are 9 hours apart, right? So... I may not be able to make the live calls, which I never can, but for you guys, because of the time difference, but you know, Paul and Holly are such a great support system that if you can't make the live calls, because there are two live group calls, you can always send them your questions ahead of time and they will answer them during the live call as well. Right.
Yeah. So
yeah. Awesome. Is there anything else that you wanted to share?
No, I think it's great. And I really appreciate, I know we went a little long, but it's just been absolute so much fun.
Yeah.
Right. It was.
Thank you everyone for all of your time that you've contributed to the call. And thank you, Alara. We always love connecting with you.
Yes. Love to you all.
Thank you. And thank you everybody for all of your questions and your comments and feedback. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for sharing the experience of going into the record. I mean, you know, I just thought that was very generous. Absolutely, Marlene. That was a very generous gift that they gave us. Linnell, did you want to say something really quickly?
I wanted to say thank you. I lost my texting ability, so I just wanted to say thank you.
Thanks, Linnell.
Awesome. Thank you, Linnell. Yeah, that was awesome. And so, Linnell, go ahead.
Can I thank Holly and Paul, please?
Sure.
Thank yes.
you so much. That was
lovely seeing you, Linda.
And you are just a blessing to all of us. Thank you.
Thanks, Linda.
Exactly. Appreciate Ditto. Yeah. Thank you, Linda. yeah. So, you know, obviously, you know, everybody loves you guys, right? So, you know, as do I. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being in my life, being part of my journey, for being so supportive and generous to me with your gifts and your time and your support. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I so appreciate you both. And I just feel so full and complete. I'm just so grateful. You know, that was awesome. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And everyone, thank you. Until next time, may you continue to be blessed with an abundance of joy, peace, love, happiness, prosperity, and radiant health. Sending you all much love and blessings always. Bye for now.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. See you soon.